So hello and welcome to Balancing the Act. Today I am with Aishwarya Tokri, who's a public relations consultant just like me. And she is on a learncation. This is something that I'm not and she is on. But Aishwarya is not only traveling the world or traveling India for leisure, but is also learning in the process of traveling. So this is something that not a lot of people do, but she's one of them. So I'm so happy to have you on the show. And just, to give people an insight into what you're doing currently. You're doing a lot on LinkedIn, you're doing a lot on creating content. So I think we should start with, telling people about who you are, what you do, and how important is LinkedIn for you at this moment.
So, like you rightly pointed out, I'm a public relations consultant. Just like you, I started independently practicing, as in for in normal layman terms, when solo, don't work with any company as such or have a employer as an agency or anybody else. So I practice on my own since last a year and a half. That's what my job is, right? Now, in order for that job to keep running and so that I keep on getting clients, somehow I think in the process, LinkedIn became sort of my showcase. It became that window where people could sometimes go window shopping and then maybe someday hit the connect button and message saying, hey, I want to do something with PR, I want to do something with media, I want to do something with content, and can you help me? So it just became that for me in the process, and right from business development to turning connections into friends, LinkedIn became the go-to stop for everything, or at least is so far right now. So yeah, that's about me as a consultant and how LinkedIn is helping me right now. I also became a part of their creators program, the first ever creators program that they recently launched in India. There's a huge emphasis on growing the create, being a part of the creator economy, because content is king, right, today, especially user-generated content. So yeah, that's a little bit about me as a creator and me as a consultant.
So you quit your job during the pandemic for a particular reason, or you were like, okay, I'm fed up of this job, I'm like, this is toxic? What was the reason for you to quit your job?
Oh no. So unlike a lot of people who have stories with toxic jobs, I don't think I had a toxic job. I really loved my job. I loved the company I was in. I was working with the largest public relations firm in the country. I loved my bosses, I loved my team. There was nothing wrong with the job or the organization or my team or my role per se. But Kevin, pandemic was not easy for anybody. Everybody had their own struggles and they had their own journey. So I was in Bombay for about roughly 3 to 4 years. I studied in Xavier's in Mumbai. I did my PR and communications course there and got a campus offer. So straight jumped and started working. And I think in the process, I just forgot what I originally set out to do or what my initial plans were, or what my somewhere I think value systems were, what was the impact that I wanted to create on this world, right? Because paychecks keep coming one month after another, parties keep happening, and then you have friends, you have colleagues, you have clients. So you just have no time to think in Bombay. It's like wake up at 6 a.m., go to bed at 10, and boom, repeat until you wait for that weekend. So when the pandemic happened and all of this noise was cut out, I moved to Goa to escape the Bombay tussle. And suddenly with so much peace around what you do, you of course confront your inner voices or your inner devils or inner fears. So one after another, they all started haunting me. And I was like, what am I even doing with my life? There's no risk. There's absolutely nothing that I'm doing apart from my job right now. So just decided to quit like that. And then I remember my MD was shocked. My team was shocked. They were like, what happened? You were on a trajectory here. So that's how I quit my job and I started something called as Learnication. Idea was originally to not work at all and just have like a 3-4 months vacation to reboot, but that never happened. So life turned out to be like a vacation with work on the side. So I just made it as a vacation to gain a new perspective to life or to learn about different things, about culture, people, and that's what Learnication is. And that's how I started it after quitting my 9-to-9 job.
All right, because this is a travel podcast and you've, you know, shifted base from basically Bombay to Goa. Tell us a little about Goa in the different seasons of the year. Now, you've been there for quite a while. You've experienced their winters, summers, their rains now. So what is it like and what is the best season to be there? Like people tell me, okay, December, mein jaoge, you know, I have cousins there, my sister's there. A lot of people I know are from Goa, but, you know, like you tell me what you think about Goa and seasons of Goa and when you should be there actually.
That's a really interesting question because you're going to get a different answer from me again, Kevin. Most people will tell you that the best time to be in Goa is maybe during the year end when Christmas, New Year's Eve, and it's in its full galore, right? But to me, honestly, the best time to visit Goa, especially when my close friends or anybody who I know ask, I think it's during the monsoon season, hands down. There's a complete different side to Goa, which unfortunately not many people know about. Goa has so much to it beyond the parties and the beach culture, right? There's just so much greenery around, so many communities around, so many of these micro events happening, which help you connect with different people, amazing food in general. So I think monsoons are the best time to be in Goa. Also, another benefit of being in Goa during off-season is that your stay is far, far more cheaper. So all of the great hotels are available at steep discount. So I think, and plus there's lesser crowd everywhere. So no long waiting lines, quick entries and everything of that sort. But yeah, so one thing must do, I think, in Goa, if you're during monsoons, is a trek in south. Nothing, and I'm telling you, nothing beats that. So that is one activity that I really, really love, enjoy doing during the monsoons, just trekking and walking through the forest. And there are a lot of these small streams that come around during that time. So you can just maybe pack up food and go have like a nature bath and things like that. So a lot of people do it. It's damn fun with your friends.
All right. So apart from being, you know, a content creator and living, you've also changed houses. You've moved to a new place. You're staying alone. So tell us about the good and the bad side of this story, right? Of leaving Bombay. I understand that you've come to Bombay, you've settled down, now you're unsettled, gone to Goa, and then there is like where to stay, what to eat, how to cook my food, increase in, you know, where do I set up my office and stuff like that. So tell me a little about your journey of, you know, moving from one place to another, and also the experience that comes along with it, because your travels teach you something, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of happy picture, lofty picture that a lot of people who are freelancing or working remotely paint. Some of it or large part of it is true. The journey, of course, teaches you a lot. Like it teaches you to be financially disciplined. It teaches you to be independent emotionally, right? Because you don't generally have a lot of people around you, like when you go to office. So you have to be very resourceful and you have to be very disciplined. So it has those pros, like time management, productivity uptick and things like that. But the one downswing of moving from a metro to a place like Goa initially was the pace of life. I think a lot of people have great difficulty in adjusting to that. In Bombay, everything is very convenient. You tell your chai wala to give you chai at 7, 6:59, mostly the chai would be on your table, right? In Goa, you tell people to come at your door maybe at 9 o'clock, they'll turn up at 11. And it's not their fault. Their priorities in life is to enjoy life, is to live it at its fullest. It's to eat breakfast with their family or to take their children to school. Just simple pleasures. And they prioritize that before anything else. In Bombay, it's the complete reverse. Your work is first priority. So that's one flip side. If you're a person who's very used to living an organized life, who has no room to sort of tweak it around, play around with it, then you'll have a really tough time adjusting in Goa. Another flip side, I think, it was not a flip side earlier. It was actually an advantage of moving to Goa because rents were generally considerably very low. You got what you paid for in terms of a 3 BHK apartment. Maybe you'd get like a 34K to 48K. Now those prices are shooting up because everybody wants to move to Goa. So there's like a great burden on the infrastructure right now. That's happening. Rents are shooting up. So it's almost coming down to living like any other city. So yeah, these two things. And lastly, I think it's just internet, you know. Some places like just have such bad internet. I had like such an important call one day and I was jumping from one house to another in search of good internet and electricity. So yeah, small things that if you manage and work on can be taken care of.
Because we're talking about Goa, we've spoken about the food and a little about, you know, how they live their life. Is there anything that you would always remember or take back home from this learncation from Goa?
Wow, it's been such a roller coaster journey for me, because when I moved to Goa, I moved with the mindset of being here only for 2 weeks. In my head, when the pandemic initially started, I thought, yeah, Bharat Bandh, you know, just like how Bharat Bandh is, maybe 1 week, 2 days max. That's how I thought in my head it would be. So I thought initially I would just be here for 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned out to 1 month, 1 to 1/4 a year, and now it's been literally 2.5 years. So initially I had great difficulty just being in Goa. I could not necessarily find people who I could connect with because I don't drink and smoke or like do any kind of substance too. And there are a lot of parties happening generally in Goa. Mm-hmm. So I could not find the groove around my people and making new friends like that. And I was just going through my own journey of transitioning from a full-time to this too, right? So initially I was, oh my God, am I doing the best thing possible? So there was a lot of nervous breakdowns and things like that. But now that I look back, it honestly helped me to declutter a lot. Like it helped me to take off a lot of things that I was doing absolutely wrong. Like earlier, life moved around work. Wherever the work is, house will be there. So there were no house goals. Like there were no parent goals. There were no family goals. Whatever work demanded, everything else would be supplied and taken care of. So I think that's one huge change that has happened. Now I look at life as life. I don't look at it as work, right? So that's one biggest takeaway that I've had. And second, like I said earlier, I think productivity has been, to be honest, better. Earlier, I used to work 9 to almost 6 or 9 sometimes. And you feel like you're doing a lot, and then your ego is inflated. Yeah, I have a white collar job. I'm, you know, going around to meetings, and you get this. I think as a young person, you get this inflated ego that I am
actually doing a good job,
doing things. Hmm. Yeah. And you are. But then there's so much more to world beyond that. Like there's so much more to world beyond paychecks. There's so many things to take care of. There's so many issues to be handled for yourself, for your own family, or maybe for the community that you're living in. So I think that way, while work has been great, I compartmentalize it now. I work for certain hours a day and I'm able to do as much as I used to, or even more sometimes. So there has been that. A lot of distractions got away from work. So, you know, just there was a general impact on productivity. And third, I think I've started thinking a lot more, reading a lot more about what are some socioeconomic challenges that I can address, or the community needs to address, the world needs to address. So just in general, upskilling, knowledge acquisition is happening at a far more better pace than it was before.
Yeah. And in terms of creating content, because you're also LinkedIn creator. Now, I think soon you will be on YouTube as well. So what is it to be consistent with creating content? Because I've understood this is all a game of consistency. You do it 30 days in a row, whatever it is. Maybe you're going to the gym for 30 days. You're creating content for 30 days. You're working on a client for 30 days. If you just do it for a certain period of time, you are going to see results.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it is, I think. So my journey with content creation per se was by accident. I was just 22 years old when a friend told me that on LinkedIn, a lot of things are happening outside the country. Like a lot of young people are creating content. So maybe you'll like get good content to consume. I did not even want to be a creator. I just wanted to like consume what things about what's going on in the job market, what are new trends in PR and things like that. So that's when I opened my account. I did not even open my account to search for a job, unlike what the world thinks LinkedIn is about, right? A job searching portal. So slowly I started connecting to different people, consuming quality content from them, changing my own belief systems, getting a lot of insights and things like that. So it became sort of my library to go to. And when that happened, I thought, man, I'm also missing out on a lot in life, because I used to debate and I used to participate in a lot of education competitions back in schools and colleges. And somehow I think job, like my work, sort of took it away from me. And I was not necessarily becoming not necessarily being the confident speaker that I was. So I thought, let's just start creating content on LinkedIn. Because there were anyways just 50 people who were connected to me. And it was like a very private profile back then. So I thought, if I fail, I'll fail here. But then luckily that, like, there was a chain, and one video after another, one post after another. It just happened by accident until the pandemic, when I actually sat down and I said, okay, something is happening here, something is brewing here, and maybe I should be a part of this. And luckily, during the same time, they launched their Creator Accelerator program and Creators program. So I became a part of that, got insights into what are some products that they are introducing, what is the kind of content maybe could be consumed by a lot of young professionals. And I started just creating like that. So unlike what you said, initially, I never started with a routine or a discipline. I just went at it because I felt for it. But now, luckily, because of the support that I'm getting from the platform and other creators, I think I know it's just like how it happens at gym, right? You go with the intention of losing weight, but somewhere I think you fall in love with the process. Like, when you pick that iron, you know that, okay, this is amazing. This feels amazing. So next time you're picking the iron, you sort of, your intuition tells you how to pick it. So that's just what happened with, muscle memory. So I know now maybe what could work, what could not work. And it's a relearning process. You experiment, fail, pick up, go back again. So yeah, that's how I look at content creation.
All right. So last question for the podcast, and I ask this to everybody on the podcast. It's about your life lessons. I feel that everyone has traveled, has learned and done everything in life, but everyone has a very different perspective and has gone through very different things in life, right? So what is your life lesson?
My life lesson. Wow, that's such a deep question that you've asked me. But my life lesson is simple. I think life is too short to have any regrets. And I know that a lot of people my age or our age, in the process of not having any regret, they go on to have more regrets, right? So like they wanna travel, they wanna be with somebody and all of that, because they just think that they're gonna regret it later. But while life is short and you can't have any regrets, I think valuing what you have is very, very important. Be it your environment, your family, your job, the work that you're doing, simply appreciating it, acknowledging it, taking care of it, nurturing it helps to take you to the next step of your life. So yeah, that's, I think, the biggest life philosophy that I've adopted right now and I'm going through.
So Aishwarya, it was a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for taking the time out, and it's been wonderful speaking to you. I hope our listeners, get a lot of insight from this, create something, and on the way become somebody. Yeah. So thank you.
I'm glad. Thank you so much. Though I'm not like necessarily a pro backpacker, but I hope I've been able to offer an insight. Thank you so much for having me here, though. No, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have many more tours and travels.